What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Back Row with Jamie Kilstein. I'm Jamie Kilstein. Thank you for all your support. Thank you for all your love. Thank you for spreading the word about the show and the clips. I have not been offed yet by Brandon Lake, so very exciting. I'm really trying to get like a Biggie Tupac thing going, but just like the lamest, whitest way possible, which would be me and Brandon Lake. That's the new bit on the show. I am not going to stop going after Lake until he responds. Listen to me, Brandon Lake. With you and your perfect family and your falsetto. Fuck you, buddy. There's a new Christian bad boy in town, and he can't grow his hair out long because he's old. Okay. Hey, everybody. We're doing a solo episode today because we haven't done a solo episode in a while. And we're going to talk about... Jesus for like normal people is maybe the way I want to phrase it. And because I think a lot of people sort of rightfully think that religion equals Jesus. And so then you see religion and you go, no thanks. You know, like when I was coming up, literally the only thing in the news about religion was like pedophilia, really angry old people about gays getting married, and like a war in Iraq that was called a crusade. And then they were like, oh, wait, we're not allowed to say that. And then they didn't. But it wasn't like the best, it wasn't the best PR for God. And so it took me, you know, 20 years after that, to actually meet people who were just like really kind and sweet and generous and loving and forgiving. And then you go, where'd you learn all that? And they're like, we learned it from Jesus. And I was like, well, is that what I've been missing? Like just kindness and sweetness and forgiveness and all that. And it's like, yeah. And so what I would say is if you, don't believe in God, check this episode out because I feel you. I get it. I still have problems with organized religion. And if you do believe in God, I would say check it because you might relate to some of this and feel bad about it. But also, what I would love for you to get out of this episode is for you to become the kind of ambassador for Jesus that brought someone who was just so opposed to any form of religion or spirituality outside of drug experiences, that brought me to Jesus. Because I think if there were more people that were welcoming instead of divisive and humble instead of self-righteous and talking about Jesus instead of making it about themselves, who are flawed, you know, if this podcast blows up and you ever hear people being like, you ever hear me be like, listen to me, unsubscribe. Cause it's gone astray. Like I have advice, but I don't know, especially when it comes to like Christianity, like I don't know much. I just know what has changed in my heart that has inspired me to try to be, a better human. And that's because of Jesus. And that, look, the reason that my church here in Austin, Red Rocks, is blowing up is, you know, you heard Ryan on the podcast and I've talked about it on the basement before, but like pretty much every week, they're like, don't listen to me. You know, they're like, listen to Jesus. They're like, I'm a mess. And these are the pastors. They're not making it about themselves and their private jets. And it's really, it's rare, right? Cause people can go kind of crazy with power. And I think that God has a purpose for me, but even that I got to get talked into, like you have to be like, but that doesn't mean that like God anointed me to be a, you know, a famous Christian influencer. I just want to do good. And I think I'm supposed to talk to the people who are kind of grossed out by religion and a lot of stuff. Like now that I'm Christian, if Joel Osteen locks his church up during a flood, I'm no longer going to be like, I'm not going to suddenly be like, well, I'm a Christian now and he's a brother in Christ. So I'm sure he had a good reason to be fucking terrible, to do the opposite of what Jesus did. He probably had to protect all of that gold that's hidden in the walls of the church. And you can't have a bunch of wet people in there. No, let them drown outside in the parking lot, the very, very large parking lot of a mega church. Just so like Joel can get his bed. I imagine him like hiding under a desk counting money while people were pounding to get into the church. Guess what? I'm Christian. Still think that. I'm rooting for him. I'll say that. That's something different. Something different is that I think back in the day, I would be like, this guy is bad and forever bad. And because he did a bad thing, all of Christianity is bad. And look at Joel Osteen. He's super rich and doesn't care about the poor and isn't going to help people. Aren't Christians the worst? Whereas now I go, hey, that guy's probably also done a lot of good. He probably has redeemable qualities. He has gotten that big, right? So he obviously can translate the message of Jesus and get a lot of people to listen to him and give him money so he can lock the doors of his church during a flood when he's truly needed. That's fine. But I really, really pray that. Oh, now I'm one of those Christians. I pray for him. I pray for Joel Osteen as I'm just like, I hope I don't lose this house. Anyway. But I pray for you. But I hope that he uses all of his talents and clearly God-given, and doesn't do something like that again. You know, I'm no longer writing people off. I mean, if Donald Trump suddenly like gave a press conference and was like, I was wrong, I'd be like, all right, cool. Like I'm rooting for people to be good. You know, I no longer want enemies. And maybe that's because I'm Christian. Maybe that's because I'm old and I don't like drama. But I don't need that anymore. So we're still going to call it out. But I also don't want to be the Christian who suddenly thrives on burying other Christians or, you know, canceling people, or anything like that. So we are rooting for people to be good. And when they're not good, we're going to make a lot of fun of them. And that's the back row. That is our new premise. Okay. What should I discuss, fellas? I thought that was actually good timing. I thought I was a fucking pro when I did that. I thought like you guys did the switch and I was like, perfect time to pause because I got to fix something.
So when's Joel coming on the podcast?
When to?
I said, so when's Joel
Osteen? Oh my God. Guys, you know what? You're out, Brandon Lake. Joel Osteen, meet me like a fucking man. I am tired of you and your, I assume, perfect family. I've never seen pictures of them. Maybe they're in the basement of the church, and that's why you can let people in. I don't know. But I will not stop until my feud with Joel Osteen is complete and you meet me on this podcast. That guy seems so charming. He would win me over. I would crumble so quickly. He would be just like, here's my very bad reason for not letting people in. And I would be like, just handing him money. I would just be giving him my credit cards. The guy seems charming. Oh, also, I can say this. I can admit this. Guess how many sermons of his I've watched? None. I'm just only passing judgment. Isn't that bad? That's not a good thing. Like, I bet you. I feel like, I think one of my pastors even said, I asked him, I was like, I went out to lunch. I was like, low key, who's like the one like church guy that you thought you were going to hate and whatever. And I think I heard a very Joel Osteen, a shockingly nice story, which I'm sure he is. All good con men must be. Now, follow my Instagram, everybody, at the Jamie Kilstein on Instagram. Get the B-side app. Okay.
What I liked is your take on this is new. I now have hope for him.
Yeah.
Like that dude is something that I think that a lot of people don't think about. It's they get offended. And so it's just attack, attack, attack. Not really looking at what if there's change.
Let me say something about cancel culture and a role I used to play on both the sides. Let me see something about cancel culture. We are so tribalized right now that we live in this world where when someone messes up, they are kicked out of their group forever. I mean, people try to cancel Tim Ross, the most loving Christian, you know, whatever. And it's like, so even Christians, we have that urge, right? Christianity is sort of founded on like a bunch of screw ups who were redeemed. And so the fact that we have Christians being like, look at that screw up. And you're like, do you want to redeem them? They're like, no, watch them burn. It's like, that's what? What? I feel like you only took the fire part out of the Bible and then didn't read the rest. They read like two sentences of Leviticus. They're like, heard. And that was it. They're like, you're all going to burn. And then they just kind of jigsaw puzzled their political beliefs into it. And which is ironic because the people who are known for canceling are usually like the progressive left. But everybody does it. And I've given this example before, but there was like a month where the left was trying to cancel Roseanne Barr because she took a bunch of pilly pillies and did a lot of typey typey and it wasn't good. And so they tried to, they were just like, she's out, she's gone. Which again, she used to be a hero of the left. I don't know if any of you are old, but Roseanne's original show was like one of the first shows that showed a working class family. It was a very important show. And so they tried to cancel her. And so the right was like all up in arms. Like the left is pro censorship. The left, like, you know, blah, 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 blah. And then like, I don't know, bro, a week later, the right tried to cancel James Gunn because James Gunn did a bunch of, I don't know, silly sillies. And then he did a bunch of typey typies and made a joke about like a pedophile joke. And nobody saw the irony that the people that were complaining about free speech and blah, blah, blah to defend Roseanne were literally those same people were just saying the same thing and just replacing the word Roseanne with gun with two N's. And we're trying to do that. And so then you go, none of you care. None of you care. You don't care about pedophilia. You don't think James Gunn is a pedophile. You don't care about racism. You don't think Roseanne is a racist. You just want to eliminate the opposing team. And it's gross. It's not authentic. And then what happens is when there are real racists or real sexists or real abusive assholes, no one really takes it seriously because they're like when people bring up sex trafficking, when people brought up sex trafficking 10 years ago, you would hear the word sex trafficking and you would go, that's awful. When sex trafficking is brought up nowadays, people on the left go, oh, that's just like some right-wing conspiracy. What? Like the right has suddenly just become the torch carriers of like sex trafficking, which is wild, right? And I'm sure a lot of conservatives are pretty upset that every time racism comes up, they're like, yep, that one's us, you know, and that all conservatives are labeled like racist. And so the thing about cancel culture is like, if you truly care about changing the culture and about making the world better and more tolerant and more loving, is the solution to whenever somebody slips, use it as a teachable moment where you are truly hoping for the redemption. If you really care about racism, wouldn't you like one less racist, right? Or do what Rudy Giuliani did with the homeless population in New York and was like, I fixed it. And then everyone was like, where'd they go? And he's like, they're hidden in the sewers. He just drove them all out. And he didn't fix the homeless population. He swept it under the rug, right? And then he took their rug so the homeless people would still be cold. He's like, that's too much for you. You got yourself here. It has nothing to do with how this country treats the poor. And so you're not going to make systematic change if every time someone screws up, you just bury them and bury the evidence. What actually you're going to do is you're going to get all of the people who see that and go, that's messed up. That guy shouldn't have gotten canceled for a tweet. Or, you know, that guy was just a shitty boyfriend. He shouldn't have been, like, Me Too'd. What happens is all the people who see that then, whenever they hear about, like, a real predator or a real racist or whatever, they go, oh, this is probably just some, like, hyperbolic, like, cancel culture, whatever. And now, which is what I predicted, cancel culture has become sort of a joke. You know, now it's like you have everyone being like, oh, what are you going to cancel me? Blah, 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 blah. Even after all these lives have been ruined, and a lot of people who were canceled have done the heel turn and have gone in the complete opposite direction. I said this on one of the shows, I think with Alex, where suddenly, you know, a day after they get canceled, they're like, well, I've always respected Tucker Carlson. That's why I'm going on the show. It's like, always? You've always respected? Okay, buddy. Like, no one respects Tucker Carlson. Just kidding, buddy. I'll probably need to come on that show at some point. But like, so... That's the problem. And the bummer, although a lot of Christians do, but the majority of people who speak out against cancel culture are not the people you want speaking out against cancel culture. It's always just like, cancel culture's gone too far. And you're like, you know what, fella? I agree with you. And he's just like, I just want to go to the grocery store and be able to shout the N-word when I'm looking for frozen nuggies. When I'm looking for my frozen nuggies, something happens inside of me where I just think about the way that my race is superior. And man, maybe I just want to shout the N-word into a freezer. And you're like, fuck, God, no, that don't do that. Or they're just like, you know, cancel culture's gone too far. And you're like, this is great. I'm totally with you. And they're like, these transgenders, have you ever seen American History X? And you're like, stop whatever you're going to say right there. There are not many good parts of that movie that are hopeful, so let's cut that out. And so you don't – so it's like they're the advocates. There's no one really like saying, hey, I think cancel culture's gone too far, not because I want to be racist or want to be sexist or homophobic or whatever. Cancel culture's gone too far because – you're not actually trying to make a change. You're not trying to make the world better. You're trying to vindictively punish people before the mob comes after you. And I'm here to tell you, they will, and they'll find you. And it's really fun for them when it's someone who used to be self-righteous trying to cancel people, and then they find that chink in the armor. They find that flaw, right?
I feel like you're saying,
yes,
is... cancel culture was like, you've done something wrong.
Yeah.
And the people who have spoken up about it is like, but I want to do wrong things. Versus we need the people who are saying like, but I can change.
Yeah.
And like, this doesn't define who I am as a person. This was a moment in my life that was, if you looked at context, you probably would understand why I'm reaching out and trying to hurt people.
So there are a couple... comedians who got Me Too'd and said nothing. Kind of disappeared for a while. Didn't say anything. And they are selling out clubs. Podcasts are big. They're killing it right now. Louis C.K. wrote, I believe, a New York Times apology in the op-ed section. And got infinitely more buried. And I remember reading the apology and being like, yeah, that sounds good. That sounds like someone who was just like, this is like embarrassing. And like, you know, I didn't do these things that people said, but I did do this and it sucked and I shouldn't have, you know, whatever. And they leapt on him. Twitter loves nothing more. I mean, Twitter's kind of a graveyard right now, but Twitter loves nothing more than someone trying to do good so that they can shit all over it. You know, the amount of times a celebrity has, like, apologized and, you know, the phrase, like, I didn't know this was a bad phrase until Twitter, where when someone goes, you know, I'm sorry if I hurt this person or whatever, and Twitter's like, oh, you're sorry if you hurt. You're not just sorry. And it's like, I don't know, man. I didn't know that was a bad thing. I was like, this was authentic.
You didn't know there was a wrong way to apologize.
You didn't know I didn't know there was a wrong way to apologize. Yeah, I mean, like, look, if you're like totally facetious, like, I'm sorry you were an idiot and misunderstood my words, which were right. And I'm sorry you grew up so poor that you couldn't read books and don't understand a joke. It's like, okay. But yeah, man, I think some of those apologies are really authentic. And then suddenly these poor guys were like trending on Twitter for like another week. It's like they added another week to their cancellation sentence because they tried to do the right thing and apologize. Sometimes it's really funny. I've talked about this before. Sometimes you read an apology that is like clearly from a PR person where they like forgot to white out to whom it may concern. And it's just like, I have said some hurtful things and I am unrolled. And that happened to Neo. Neo said some like wild stuff about trans people. And they put out the apology, and the apology was like clearly written by like a publicist. And then suddenly, like Neo's Instagram, like 5 minutes later, was like, yo, that wasn't me. So, like, trans people, I don't get them. And he just like freaked out. And so, like, that's, you know, if it's inauthentic coming from like your publicist, like, yeah, of course that sucks. But again, that's not what we're talking about. That's not you trying to learn. And so, yeah, so Louis does the right thing. Louis apologizes. And now Louis is just like, I mean, when you think of like, Me Too, I think of like Louis and like his black t-shirt, and like the apology made it worse for him, as opposed to someone apologizes and sure, maybe it's calculated, maybe it's a PR move, but is it not a step in the right direction? And like I said, a lot of the people who there were accusations who just stayed completely silent and just kind of coasted off their savings account for a while and then just reappeared. They're killing it. And this might get me shit, but a lot of their crowd is sort of like shittier and more sexist and stuff now. Cause they're like, now it's a political statement. And this is where the left is totally screwing up, is they're pushing more people to the right. You know, there's a reason Donald Trump won, and it's not just because of racism. Like, Donald Trump won in districts that Barack Obama, our first black president, won. And if you guys remember, Barack Obama ran on change. He was anti-establishment. He became, you know, whatever the establishment, but like his Spotify playlists are great. He's super cool, and I would definitely hang out with him. I'd be like, I won't bring up the drones if you don't bring up the drones. Can you sing that Al Green song again? Because that ruled. What's Michelle really like? What is a Yemen? Okay. I'll tell you what it is. This is droned. by him, but we like him. So they elected Obama, or they voted for Obama, they voted for Trump. Because people are sick of the establishment, they're part of the two-party system. Now, for the Trump people, sorry to say, he did end up being much like a lot of the establishment. But, like, to just go there, they're all racist and not explore that deeper is not the move. You need to actually ask questions and go, man, that guy seems like an idiot, and it looks like he's a rapist. And we, like, definitely are going to – he's going to be our president again very shortly. And so – and he's, like, refusing to debate. And, like, every time there's an article that's, like, Donald Trump – like, this is airing later, but, like, at the time of this recording, he just won Iowa. And, yeah, he could be in jail right now, so I probably shouldn't talk about it. But, like, every article, it's just, like – thrice indicted Donald Trump who didn't show up for the debate, and it has pending rape allegations, swept Iowa. And then they cut to a picture of like Ron DeSantis and Nikki Haley like walking sadly to their bus in the snow. It is bananas. But it's like, that is how pathetic our system is. And the amount of conservatives that I knew skyrocketed because of COVID, you know, liberals locking down small businesses when we're supposed to be the small business guy. I ain't bringing up the vaccines no more, but that debate. And then a lot of this, like, cancel culture stuff, and a lot of this, like, people were like, I guess I can't be liberal anymore because I don't want my five-year-old to have, like, testosterone blockers. And they're like, all right. And then, you know, is that an excuse to go, like, again, fully in the other direction? No. But if someone slowly becomes more conservative, like, I get it. You know, I totally get it. So, yeah, I think that answered your question. But essentially, it's like, this is what, this is the end result of what happens when we are not forgiving and rooting for redemption, is we are just adding on to the polarization, the tribalism. And the polarization and tribalism are completely stopping us from getting any sort of solution and are just driving us further and further apart. And so I think as a Christian, I think it's sort of your job not to come and swing in when you see people who disagree with you and go like, you're bad because you're pro-choice. Cool. What if you're talking to a woman who was raped when she was 16? Is that the right approach to bring her to Jesus? To go, you're already wrong. Or your relationship, when you were a gay kid and you were bullied at school every day and your dad fucking hit you, and now you are in the first loving, stable relationship you've ever had. Maybe you just, like, moved to New York and you just started, like, just fucking and in gay clubs and doing drugs. This sounds like I'm writing gay fanfic. And you were just around these sweaty guys with just abs that you could just snort coke off of. Let's say that was your life. And then you meet a really sweet gay dude and he loves you and he's kind to you. And for the first time in your life, you feel accepted and you feel seen and you feel loved. And the only interaction you've had with Christians are them going, that's wrong. That's going to keep you away from Jesus. You're going to hell. Now, excuse me while I have premarital sex because they're hypocrites. Is that going to bring you to Jesus? No. When you see people who screw up and you just get this, like, adrenaline rush of this pastor did what? Oh my God, Carl Lentz did this so I can feel better about flirting with the intern, you know, like, ugh, that is not going to bring people closer to Jesus. That's not going to bring people, if you don't give a shit about Jesus, that's not going to make the world better. That's not going to make, that's not kind. That's not whatever, but we get swept up in it. And then the problem is when the entire world is doing it, you just feel kind of crazy. And then, look, I go on Twitter for 5 minutes and I'm like, we got to burn this guy down. And I'm like, get out of it. I got to get out of it. It's really hard when I'm around mean people and I feel stupid talking about Jesus. Suddenly I'm like, cause I'm funny. Suddenly I can just be mean and I'm just kind of mean. And I go, I don't like that either. Like, I know we're all adults, but, like, you're lying if you say peer pressure isn't still a thing, or, like, you still sort of, like, get into the rhythm of the people you're around, and which is why you need to be around, you need to cut out toxic people. I should just say that. So my cancel culture rant.
No, dude, I love that. One of the things that my therapist brought up, and I love this mindset, and that's, well, it's not even a mindset, it's just the truth, is biblically, Jesus met culture, like, cancel culture, with understanding. So he saw the wound before he saw the incident.
Yeah.
And so it's like, I don't see what your behavior is, I see what's causing it.
Yeah.
And he went to that. And that's what I love about God, and that's what I love about Jesus. And I think that we can adapt that and try to bring understanding into, like, well, I'm curious as to why you're acting out this way, why you are doing these things, versus saying cancel him, like, he shouldn't be able to get a job after this, like,
yeah,
kind of thing.
Are you in this episode, are you going to be on mic saying that, or do I need to reframe? Okay, great. So, like, if I may describe Louis C.K.'s penis, Louis, the accusation was that Louis liked to J.O. in front of girls. And he wasn't, like, jumping out of the bushes and be like, hey. It was, like, women who were going to hook up with him. And then that was just, like, his thing, right? He had a joke in his comeback special that was, like, everyone has, like, a thing. And he's, like, it's weird that, like, the president of the United States knows what my thing is. Because that story got so big, right? You know, when you, and so, you know, lots of the comedy community was like, oh, we all knew about that. And that's true. Like, I did shows with Louis in Ireland. I was with a girl that he was with at the time there. And, you know, they were happy and cool. And, but the way I heard about it was like, kind of like when people like see like strippers, which is like, oh, Louis's in like this, like either unhappy relationship or, and he doesn't like want to cheat. So this is what he does or like, anyway, whatever. When you hear something like that, and especially when you see it like get blown up, you, my instinct isn't like, what a creep. I just go, oh, something weird happened. And then that became your thing. And then, you know, like maybe it's, and I'm not saying with him anymore just because I don't, it's not my fucking business. But like, if that was my thing, I would be like, okay, maybe it's because I'm like afraid I don't perform well, or maybe it's because I've been rejected a lot. Maybe it's because I don't want to talk to girls and I just go to like strip clubs and I'm like, hey, can I do this? Or whatever it is. But there are plenty of like logical reasons. That is far different than like someone like Harvey Weinstein, who it's just like, oh, you have made a career preying off of women and there's a power structure around you protecting you for like ruining and raping and assaulting these women. And we need to be able to know the difference. And someone, you know, I mean, Jesus would go, well, what happened to Harvey Weinstein? Which there's probably, I mean, don't tell me that guy had a healthy life and was just like, time to start a raping. Like, probably not, right?
Well, and that's the other side of it is like, I don't want it to say like finding understanding and finding the context to why negates what they did. It doesn't.
It doesn't.
It doesn't do that.
It doesn't. And you need to root for and figure out ways to get them help. You know, I mean, look, the solution to the drug problem and the homeless problem we have in America isn't to demonize them. It is a mental health issue. You know what I mean? No one is like in school, you know, being like, what do you want to do when you grow up? And he's like, the sauce, you know, like, oh, I want to do, get me some needles. I just, every time I get a booster shot, I go, oh, when I'm older and there's no longer a chickenpox vaccine in there, I hope it's the big H. Like, no one wants that. Some tragic shit happened and they turned to that to numb themselves, and then it became addicting or habitual or whatever. You know, you look at something like not as consequential as like heroin, but like you look at porn, and like the first time we look at porn, it's like we're younger. No one looks at porn for the first time like during a marriage to spice things up. You know, you look at it when you're younger and you've never seen a tit and you go, oh, that's what it looks like. And it's glorious. And then, you know, you start going to it for comfort and you learn, you hide it right away. Right. Everyone had like that one weird like dad in the neighborhood who was like displayed his Playboys in the bathroom. And then we would all befriend that kid so we could like spend a lot of time in the bathroom. Man, I'll tell you, I almost used the last name. Jason's dad probably thought I had to shit a lot. I am surprised they didn't contact my parents, and he was a doctor, and be like, hey, how's that GI health, buddy? And I'm just like, I don't know, man, but Anna Nicole Smith has tits the size of your house. I still remember them by name. Core memories. And so we get used to hiding it. And so then as we get older, we're used to that, like, rush of finding it, and then that shame of hiding it, and oh man, that's not going to shape a healthy sexuality, right? But it didn't start with bad intentions, right? And then it becomes either I'm single and lonely, so I'm going to go to porn, and then it becomes even more habitual, where every time you feel lonely, you go to porn. Then it becomes I'm in a relationship and she's pregnant. So then it goes to porn, and then maybe it goes to porn, and then maybe it goes, hey, you know what's better than porn? Another girl. but like I'm going to stop this after that, whatever it is. Or what could be even more subtle is I have a fight with my girlfriend. You go, I'm just going to go look at porn to like numb out. And like when you actually break down what that is, it's not cheating. It's not good though. Like if it's just like I'm having an argument and instead of dealing with it or doing something healthy, I'm going to go watch other naked chicks like and fantasize about them. Like that's a wild behavior. But that's why it starts tearing apart marriages and stuff like that. So no one is looking for these addictions. It comes from either, you know, trauma and this or something just like simple enough. You know, I mean, Jesus, there are people who get addicted to drugs by accident. Right. Where it's just like I thought I was smoking weed and it was, you know, so someone put crack. This is wild. I was a kid. I was a teenager and I smoked a lot of weed. And the like shady kid that was friends with my sister came over and I didn't really know him. But we had a couch on our front porch because we're white trash. We were like we were like the yard would be two on the nose. So put it a step up. So we had a couch on our porch and that's where all my little like dirtbag friends would come and would smoke weed. Just zero fear of consequences. Like, oh, we could go to the backyard. We're not going to. And it was just acoustic guitars and weed. It was very white. And so this kid comes over and he was like waiting for my sister and he was kind of like, yeah, like the bad kid, whatever that means. And, he's like, you want to smoke weed? And I was just like, you know what? I'm just like Michelle Pfeiffer in Dangerous Minds. I'm like Sandra Bullock in the one where she saves black people. He was a white kid, but I was like, I'm going to bridge the gap between good and bad by sharing a meal. And by meal, I mean illegal narcotics. And so he sits down and we start smoking and I go, I feel weird. And he goes, there may be crack in there. To which I replied, that's not a sentence. There's no, there may be crack. It's either you have smoked zero crack, which fingers crossed, or you're now addicted to crack. No in between. There is no middle. It's just like I live on the street now or I smoked some bad weed. That's it. And so, yeah, I smoked a little crack and I immediately stopped. But like, dude, there are people who like get addicted to stuff from that. Or God, how many people got addicted to painkillers because they had a legitimate surgery? And the doctor, I mean, the drug that kills the most people, it's prescribed by doctors who you are supposed to trust because they're fucking doctors. It's not, you're not on a front porch couch. You're in a hospital. And so then people become addicted to these pill formed, government approved, heroin capsules, essentially. But what do we do when we see homeless people on the street? We go, oh, they deserve this, they whatever. And so, you know, when it comes to homeless people, when it comes to drugs, it is mental illness. It's not let's just punish them. And ironically, I learned that from being liberal, right? Like I was like, actually it was technically from like a Bill Hicks bit, but it's just like you should treat drug addictions like a mental illness, not you shouldn't just punish them or put them in jail. And then ironically, you know, the strongest advocates of cancel culture are the people who I learned forgiveness from. You know, I didn't learn forgiveness from Jesus. That came later. I learned real forgiveness from Jesus, but I learned the idea of it from liberals, where it was like prison reform. Don't just lock people up for longer. Like, help them establish themselves in the world and get a job. So it's not just like Red was here, right? Like prison reform, the war on drugs, all the nonviolent drug offenders we lock up. And we're just doing the Twitter version of that, right? Where this guy said this, lock him up, get him off Twitter. Make sure he never works again. You know, we're not going to stop until, I mean, Louis still, every show he does, people are protesting it and whatever. And by the way, only reason he's okay right now is because he was rich and successful and talented enough that even if he was a creep, like even if it's so much worse than I think, in which I apologize, he would still be selling out the Garden because he's fucking Louis C.K. I'm not. You know what I mean? And a lot of people aren't. And where I'm so lucky is that I just found like such an amazing community who like knew me and inspired me. And then I came to Jesus and I go, oh, wow. Because look, if you do something and if you screw up, as we all do, and you don't actually feel forgiven or you don't actually feel forgivable, you're not going to become a better person. No way. That's always going to just be like deep, deep, deep inside you that you're like, I'm bad. So if I had the opportunity, now that Alex is gone, if I had the opportunity to cheat on her, which I do, if I truly believed I wasn't for, I love her so much. And this is the healthiest relationship I've ever been in by like far. But if I didn't believe I was forgiven, and we're in a fight, and I and some girl makes moves, of course I would be like, this is just who I am. You know what I mean? I guess I'm a screw up, even if I'm like not happy about it. And I go, it's just gonna be one time, and you know, whatever. Just in New York and those abs and that coke. I've never done coke, or else I would be addicted to coke. You know, I don't like how shocked people are when I tell them I don't do coke. Doesn't make me feel good when they're like, really? And I'm like, fuck, come on, man. I'm like, just high energy. Anyway, so that ended up being, that's the episode. Forgive if you want people to get better. That doesn't mean like, if you're in a fucking abusive relationship or you're with some piece of shit and you're just like, oh, I gotta forgive him and stay with him and love him because Jesus. No, get the fuck out. Like, protect yourself. Pray for him, you know, advocate that he gets help, but get the fuck out of there. Like, don't put up with abuse. Don't put up with racism. Don't put up with bigotry. No way. No way. No way. No way. No way. No way. But if it's a celebrity you don't know, you know what I mean? Like, we can root for forgiveness. Guys, literally, this episode is ending because my pastor just rang my doorbell. How times have changed. We love you. Thank you so much for supporting the show. Thank you so much for supporting B-Side. If this show spoke to you at all, please spread the word, send clips, email the episode to somebody. We are rogue. It's all word of mouth. That is gonna to make this show blow up and hopefully get this message of just like being a decent person out. So we love you guys very much, and follow me on Instagram @TheJamieHilstein, and we'll see you next time. Peace.